I'm a huge fan of consuming water throughout the day, but sometimes it can be kind of boring. I like to jazz up my water, and one of my favorite ways to do that is by adding juicy strawberry peach electrolytes by Organica into my simple modern tumbler and drink it in the afternoon. I'm really particular about the supplements I consume, and these electrolytes are gluten-free, they're non-GMO, and caffeine-free. There are also no preservatives, there's no artificial colors or flavors, and no artificial sweeteners. There's zero sugar, 5 grams of grass-fed collagen per serving, and it's a source of magnesium, which we are all depleted in. This is such a simple way to add something good into your body, and it's easy to do. Drinking plain water, unfortunately, isn't always good enough, and we miss out on some vital hydration for our body. Not only do electrolytes hydrate you, but they help with maintaining water balance, muscle contraction, nerve impulses, and temperature regulation. And the collagen is a source of grass-fed protein, which helps improve the overall look and health of our skin, hair, and nails. Right now, Organica is giving my community 25% off their orders online when you use code MEGAN25, MEGAN25 at checkout. Grab the electrolytes, and I also really like the enhanced collagen with magnesium biglycinate and L-theanine for my nighttime wind down drink. I just add it into my tea and snuggle in for a good night's rest. Don't forget to use code MEGAN, MEGAN25 at checkout to receive 25% off of your order. Enjoy! Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of this show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. I hope you had a fabulous week. I hope you had a fabulous St. Paddy's Day if you celebrate it. And I hope you are getting ready to enjoy this beautiful spring weather that is on its way. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Dr. Mike Van Thielen. Mike is a PhD holistic nutritionalist, doctor of oriental medicine, certified in Chinese herbal medicine, homeopathy, and also the medical director at Clary Gen Z Health. He's also a best-selling author of Access to Success, a book focused on optimizing productivity and focus and creating a stress-free life. Dr. Mike is a well-rounded individual. He is also a treating physician for Boston Neuro Pain and Psych Centers, helping tens of thousands of patients with chronic pain and mental health conditions. Mike has over 3 decades of involvement with the best optimal health practices, anti-aging and regenerative medicine, sports performance, nutrition and supplementation, and biohacking strategies. He is a mentor and coach helping people regain control of their health. If you guys love health episodes, everything to do with biohacking, healthier living, you are going to gain so much value from this episode. We kind of go all over the place. We also talk about purpose in life, and Mike is just a real thought leader in this space. On this episode, we talk about biohacks for healthier life, how we obtain optimal health and get to be living our best life. We also discuss how to identify your purpose in life, different modalities for learning control over our minds, stem cell therapy, and so much more. If you also feel like you struggle with depression or if you lack motivation, this episode is also for you. I feel like everyone is going to benefit from this podcast episode. With that, please welcome Dr. Mike Van Thielen to the Balance Your Life podcast. I am very disciplined in my physical exercise and fitness routine. Not only do I love the way I look and feel in my body, but it has been so critical in my mental health. I just feel so good after doing a yoga or workout session, almost like a high. It truly is the best feeling. I'm not someone who loves going to the gym though. I find it takes away from my time. And although I do like going to a studio for workshops or retreats, doing yoga classes there wasn't feasible. You have to work on their schedule. It takes time to go there, set up, do the flow, and then drive back home. I love being able to work out or do yoga from my house. I just unroll my mat. My son plays next to me, so he gets to see me taking care of myself, and I feel like that's such an important thing for him to witness firsthand. I started my yoga journey on YouTube from the comfort of my home, and while I am so grateful for it giving me a start, I felt like I was missing something. I had to go to different channels depending on what sort of exercise I wanted. Some teachers were too slow, some made it boring, and I just wanted someone with some humor and fun, but who also taught a good flow. So I got certified as a teacher and started my own channel. This is a one-stop shop, and on my YouTube page, you'll find yoga flows ranging in all styles and lengths. You'll also find Pilates and yoga workouts, prenatal classes, my podcast episodes, wellness vlogs, and more. Click the link in the show notes to subscribe to my channel and support me and free online yoga and fitness. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mike. I'm so excited to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me, Megan. I'm excited too. It should be fun.
I would love if you could give a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining me from today.
Today, I'm in the Cocoa Beach, Melbourne area, north, kind of east coast or space coast, it's called here in Florida. I do have an accent, of course. So I'm originally from Belgium. I grew up over there. Single mom, family home. My mom worked very hard to make ends meet for me and my brother. Fast forward, I ended up going to the University of Brussels over there, did physical education, physical therapy, traveled with the Belgian Olympic swim team in preparation for the Olympic Games in Atlanta in 1996. And shortly thereafter, I was recruited here because the U.S. was short of therapists. So I saved $400. Packed my backpack, put my jeans on, and came to live the American dream. Fast forward again, I decided to go back to school here to the Florida College of Integrative Medicine to get my Doctor of Oriental Medicine, licensed in acupuncture, board certified in homeopathy, Chinese herbal medicine, etc. Because I saw that combining conventional medicine with those therapies got better results. But then after another 1,000 patients, I did realize that these, what they call quote-unquote alternative medicines, which really are the original ones, that's another topic of discussion, that they were less invasive and less harmful than conventional medicine, meaning drugs, injections, and surgeries, but I really didn't get the lasting results either. So I was a little bit frustrated, and so I decided to go back to basics. I got my PhD in holistic nutrition, and I started really to looking at Mother Nature and animals in the wild to see what they were doing. And usually Mother Nature doesn't lie, so I really find a lot of truths in Mother Nature. And by combining that holistic nutrition with observations in Mother Nature, I really got very confident in helping people regain control of their health. So then from a professional point of view, I in the early 2000s, I got into the anti-aging. I got several anti-aging clinics, which is your bioidentical hormones, your non-invasive cosmetic procedures. Those types of things were popular. Then 2015, I became the CEO of a regenerative medicine company, which we did all of stem cell-based therapies, including for top NFL players, heavyweight champion, boxers, etc. So we were very successful. And then COVID hit. Right. So we're deep non-essential. And that's when I had to do a little bit of soul searching myself to see what my purpose in life was and which direction I wanted to go. And my passion is always educating and helping people. So here I am again. Today I'm regarded as an expert biohacker. I do a lot of keynote speaking on stages, live and online. I have 8 books, one of them a bestseller. And right now I'm coaching and mentoring people, not only to you know, upgrade their body and their life, but also their mind. So I help people on a health type of level, but also I have a corporate impact program. So I help corporations and businesses to achieve their highest potential and even on personal life. So that's kind of my life story, and that's where I am today.
No, I love it so much. And there's so many ways I want to take this conversation, but I'm just curious. Have you always been into the biohacking wellness space? I mean, being a competitive swimmer and being on the Olympics, I imagine it was part of your life for a little while, if not your entire childhood growing up. Was that something that like you grew up in just a household that was really health and wellness based?
Not really. I mean, my grandparents, which was kind of part of my parents, because again, my mom was a single mom, had to work very hard. They did obviously their best, but they didn't have any education in health or wellness or sports performance. So looking backward, there were many things we could have done better. But again, that's not where the parents come in. That's where a coach and a support team should come in, right? But what I learned with traveling with high performance athletes is that, yes, it's not just about, you know, swimming or doing your sport. It's about your diet. It's about certain supplements and trying to find an edge, right? And even in the 90s, there obviously were, you know, all these athletes were trying to find a little bit of edge here and there. And so I got exposed to that for sure. But being in physical therapy and physical education, it's two times the word physical. I was obviously in my early years always more focused on the body and the physique and how to optimize that. But then later in life, a few decades ago, obviously, we all learned that the mind controls the body and the mind creates your successes and your belief system, your visualization, all those types of tools are even more powerful than any supplement on the market. So basically, that's how I got, you know, into on an early age into competition, into performance, but then had to expand this, you know, to the mind and upgrading the mind in order to achieve your highest potential.
So when it comes to the idea of like optimal living, where do you suggest people kind of begin on their journey? Is it, you know, I think it should be, you should start physical based because that will create like a domino effect into other parts of your life. Is it more mindset, like kind of like hyping yourself up to start to live an optimal life? If someone is like, hey, like I am not the healthiest person, but I want to become healthier and I want to do all the right things, where do I even start? Where would you suggest somebody starts?
Well, it depends on what their knowledge is, right? A lot of people, they do need a coach or a mentor, or somebody to guide them in the right direction, such as myself or any other capable people, coaches and functional medicine doctors out there. Actually, you know, it's good that you bring that up because during the pandemic, I was asked by a colleague, friend, doctor to help out with doing pre-screenings calls for medical marijuana. And to my astonishment, there were so many people I talked to that had anxiety, depression, PTSD, worry, fear, all these mental conditions, as I call them. And yes, there's therapies and drugs out there, but I really figured out talking to them, there was a much deeper underlying cause, as with many conditions, right? And so I found that people, especially after or during the pandemic, it became very relevant or obvious that people don't have a purpose in life. And so I felt I had to take it a step further. And that's why I wrote my last book. I always have a copy with me, the IZOT method. IZOT stands for In the Zone On Demand. It's about unleashing your superpower. So it's about optimizing productivity, focus, freeing up valuable time, living stress-free and upgrading body and life. And so I actually trademarked this method because I felt I needed to come up with something, a strategy that people can follow to live their full potential and unleash their superpowers. But it all starts with a foundation. And so there's kind of three distinguished steps in this IZOT method. Number one is purpose of life, because I found that many of these people I was talking to that were lost and anxious and depressed, they didn't have a purpose in life. They were going through the motions day by day. They were going to their job, the boss yelling at them or giving them extra work, then coming home, having to drive the kids to soccer, dealing with the partner and being bombarded with an average of 14,000 digital messages per day, which as humans, you know, we're unable to organize that chaos. So if you don't have your purpose, your dreams, your goals clearly set, then obviously you're wondering what is tomorrow going to bring, what is next week going to bring, what is next year going to bring. And so life's controlling you. And of course, you're going to be worrying about finances tomorrow, next week, about your life, et cetera. And that translates into anxiety, depression, loss of appetite for life, and those types of things. And I found that many people are in that situation. So the first step is not only the foundation, it basically sets the stage, is I help people find their purpose in life, or at least confirm it, right? With lots of questions and exercises. And sometimes we can get there, you know, just within one session, 1 hour. And sometimes it may take a week to really make sure this is your purpose. And then obviously I get an objection immediately, because many times we can identify that purpose, because then the person goes, Dr. Mike, you're right, but I got a job, I got mouths to feed, I got responsibilities, I got bills to pay. I can't just stop working and redirect myself to what I'm passionate about, what my dreams are. And that's where, you know, that limiting belief comes into play, because I said, well, you don't have to drop your job. What we're going to do, you and I, we're going to free up 1 hour each day, because I'm sure there's things you do, whether it's watching Netflix or being too long on social media or just sitting in the couch because you're tired from work, that we can free up some valuable time. And then we're going to slowly work on that and transition into your life's purpose. So that's kind of the first thing that we have to do, is set a foundation. The second thing that we need to do is regain control, not just of our health, but our life. Because again, you know, we're just going with the motions and things are thrown at us. So we need to start to get in control of our agenda, of our calendar. We slowly have to start scripting our life, because the more control that we create, the more clarity we have, and the more clear we are about things, the less stress, the less worry, and the less fear. When you come to a moment where you have total control of your life, you know exactly what's happening tomorrow, every hour of the day, next week, you know, next year, and you have that all planned out, then obviously there's no reason to worry, fear, be depressed, or be anxious. You're getting up with a purpose, and you're getting up with a fire in your stomach that you want to get things done today. And so that's basically purpose and control is the first step of the IZOP method. The second step becomes, it's about planning and a strategy. Now we have a goal, we have a dream. Now, just like in any business, we need a plan. The plan doesn't have to be a detailed plan. It's the what. What are your goals? What are your dreams? Who do you want to be? And when you want to accomplish that, it doesn't have to be the how-tos. They will fall in place as we move along. But an important aspect of that plan is to identify the people that we need in order to perform at our highest potential. I call them our team of experts. And it doesn't have to be experts in the sense of millionaires or billionaires or professionals. It could be a family member. It could be your secretary. It could be anybody. Because what we're doing is, we have to identify our strengths and our weaknesses, but what we're going to do is we're going to only focus on our strengths. And we need to know the weaknesses, but we're not going to work on it. We're going to identify people that are strong where you are weak. And that's really what we need to do. And so now we have goals. We have incremental small steps so we don't get overwhelmed our dreams, right? And we surround ourselves with the right people. And so now we're getting more and more control of our purpose, our goals, our dreams, and we have a plan and a strategy to get there. And that's step number two, the plan, the strategy, and the team. And then step number three is biohacking, which is upgrading our body and our mind. Because no matter what you do, whether you're an entrepreneur, an athlete, an artist, a performer, or just somebody who wants to perform at their highest potential, you know, when we're in optimal health, we're always going to perform better. It doesn't matter what you do in life. And so, yes, we're going to regain control of our health. We're going to get to optimal health, and we're going to biohack our body and our mind. Biohacking, basically, in this context at least, means we're going to objectively reverse our biological age. We want to be in optimal health. We want to be fit. We want to be vital. We want to be strong. We want to be in control of our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And then upgrading the mind is something that we don't do last. We kind of start doing that from the beginning when we start working on purpose, because we got to eliminate false core beliefs. Because a lot of people think that, yes, this is my dream, but I can't do that. That's just something for other people, because they base it on past experiences, past failures. So we need to work on a different mindset, eliminating those false core beliefs, working on belief, working on visualization, working on manifestation, and those types of things, being able to tap into those different brain waves. And in the past, it was difficult because there was only meditation. But today, there's so many technologies and strategies and YouTube videos out there on how to be good at breathwork and get into a certain zone, or brain tap, or any other technologies out there that facilitate us really getting in control of our mind and getting in control of our future, because our mind creates our future. Our mind is the blueprint. So those are basically the three steps of the in the zone on demand mindset that I teach people so they can basically live their happiest and most productive life, because a lot of us don't know what their superpower is. Most of us know, and we're barely tapping into it. But today, the world needs all of our superpowers. So my superpower is that I help people unleash their superpowers.
I love that you bring that up. And I'm curious, if someone is, maybe they're like, hey, I know I don't feel like I have a purpose in life. Are there practices that you recommend, even something somebody can do for free at home to kind of get the ball going and get started? Because I think when people hear purpose, they go, oh, that's like becoming a doctor or becoming a writer. And it's sometimes it can be a little bit more, I don't want to use the term vague, but like you said, your superpower is helping others discover their superpower. Some people are like, they're people, if that makes sense. Like, they do really well with other people and they just don't know which context to necessarily get like a career in, but they just know that they do really well. Like, they bond really well with people. So
the fact that they're social beings and they like to help people narrows things down, right? But I do several exercises with them to fine tune that. The first thing I do is I figure out whether or not they're living their purpose right now, because a lot of people think they do, but that's because they were misguided, right? Because what happens is when we're born, basically by society are put in a certain direction. We have to go to school, we have to go to college, and then we're expected to work for somebody till we're 65, and then we're expected to buy an RV and travel the country, which usually doesn't happen, right? Or we are pushed in a certain direction by our parents or by our teachers, because if dad's a lawyer, he wants you to go to law school. His mom's a doctor, she probably wants you to go to med school. And so nobody has asked you, or you have never even have asked yourself, what your passions and desires and dreams are. So the first thing I usually ask is, when you get up in the morning, do you think to yourself, oh, I got to get up, I got to go to work, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to go to the gym? Because if that's your mindset, then obviously you're not living your purpose. It's a drain. It's, you don't want to do those things. Or are you getting up in the morning and you're full of passion and finally say, I get to get up, I get to go to work, I get to tackle this problem, I get to solve this problem, or attack this hurdle, so I get one more step closer to my dream and I can't wait to get this done today. That's the minority of people, and that's sad, because that indicates you're living your purpose. If that's not you, you're not living your purpose. So we got to figure it out. And the way we do that is just by conversations or exercises. I can give you two examples. The first one, I always go back to when they were not influenced by teachers or by parents yet, or by society yet. In other words, when you were a kid, what were the superpowers that you wanted when you were a kid? What were the dreams about who you wanted to be? Because at that time, you believed without any doubt in your mind, you could be that person, until somebody, most likely your parents, told you that's impossible. And so then most of us, settle for ordinary. So many times I revisit that, and many times it doesn't align, but it's a good exercise to do. So what were your superpowers? Oh, I always wanted to be a pilot. Okay. Do you still want to be a pilot today? And just by their response, by their, finkle in their eyes, by the fact how they react, you can see if it's still a passion or not. And sometimes it still is, like, yeah, I wish I would have gone to pilot school or went to the army and flew an F-16 or whatever it may be. And so maybe it's still a passion, maybe it's not. So then I do another exercise, and the exercise has three simple parts, and your listeners actually can do it. But then after each part, they will have to pause this video so they don't get into the next part prematurely. So what really helps a lot of people is first I ask them to get a pen and a piece of paper and ask them to write down the top three or five topics they would talk about if they were invited on a TEDx talk. And most people know what a TEDx talk is. People will end up, probably hundreds of thousands of people will end up watching you. So if you have three topics that you could talk about, what would those topics be? So write those down and then pause this broadcast if you can. So once they're written, you wrote those three or five topics down, I go to the next step of the exercise and I say, okay, now close your eyes and pretend you're on top of a mountain and it's beautiful scenery and you're looking down, you're absorbing the peace and the beauty of Mother Nature. And suddenly you see a few people approaching the base of the mountain. And after a minute, suddenly 8 billion people are sitting at the base of the mountain and they're looking up at you and it's quiet. And you now have 10 minutes to deliver just one message. What will that message be? So now you take 5 minutes, you can pause this broadcast or this podcast and really think about what that message would be and write down what that message would be. And then the third part of the exercise is we're going to discuss that, because often that top of the mountain message does not correlate. It may correlate with the topics of the TEDx talk, because the topics of the TEDx talk, they come from the brain, meaning they're usually based on what are your credentials, what are you good at, what did you do at school, how do you like to make money? Because the subconscious there is like, if I talk about this, maybe I can sell this or maybe I can further myself in my career. So it's all rational and it's all brain oriented based on your, experiences and your skills, right? And your knowledge. While the top on the mountain topic usually comes from the heart. What is it really that you want to tell people all over the world? And that topic that may have nothing to do with your expertise, and you may not even know how to execute that or even start that. But if that topic brings fire and passion in your stomach, then that's the one, then that's your purpose. And then many people would fight it because they don't have the credentials or they wouldn't even know how to start. But that doesn't matter, because that will fall in place as we start moving forward. So that's just an example, Megan, of exercises I do with people. In which we pretty quickly in a day or at least in a week really identify and hone in on what's your purpose. And then we need to obviously start freeing up a little bit of time so we can slowly start working on that purpose and putting the right things in place.
What are the next steps that someone would take when it comes to starting to like fulfill their purpose and live like an optimal life? You had talked about starting the idea of like biohacking or, you know, anti-aging and stuff. Is that the next step? Like, I can also imagine some of these people, if they're feeling really lost, they have anxiety and depression, perhaps they have bad habits. Is it like we need to kick those bad habits before we implement good habits? Are we just starting the ball rolling with good habits? Like, what are those next few steps like?
No, and that's exactly right. Before we actually start really focusing on health and the mind. And again, those three steps, they don't have to be done step by step. You know, you start customizing things for clients. But when people don't have that coach or mentor, you remember what I said. Once we identify purpose, we need to start regaining control. We need to take control of our life. So we need to start to get organized. We need to start scripting our life. And so if you're a person with anxiety, depression, ADHD, and your number one symptom, for example, is I can't focus, I procrastinate, I can't get things done, I'm easily distracted, then we need to implement tips and strategies to get that under control. And so, you know, again, in the iZolt method, this book is full of tips and strategies that may work for you to help you do that. And it doesn't have to cost anything, right? So let's take focus as an example. The first thing that people ignore to do is designate a workspace, whether it's at home or at the office, to do their job, to do their homework, to do their projects. a lot of people today, they sit in the couch in front of the TV while they're trying to get some work done, or, you know, they're just in the living room or on their bed. And of course, there's many distractions there. So you got to assign a workspace. Then you got to make sure that you're not distracted by your phone needs to be off, right? So this device is a major, you know, distraction device. And so when you're going to work on a project, you can use your phone to call people or look something up that you need for your project. But when you're not doing that, you want to put it off because you don't want other people to interrupt you for their purposes or for their benefit, right? And so there's many other techniques and strategies. One of them is the Pomodoro technique. For the listeners who don't know what that is, it's just a strategy that helps many people focus and get things done. What it says is you go into your designated area, no distractions, phone off, and all you have is a timer. And it goes for 20 or 25 minutes. You set it and you focus and you go to work. No distractions. After 20 minutes, it goes off. Now there's a mandatory 5-minute break. So you walk away, you do something else. 4 minutes, 59 seconds later, you get ready and you go back, you know, to your workspace, and you repeat that cycle 4 or 5 times. And it's amazing what people can get done in a short time when they just apply a certain structure or strategy to what they're doing. And so that's just a few examples, but there's many things where we can get control again over the things that distract us. Most of us also today are in what we call a dopamine overload. In order to be focused and not distracted, our 5 intelligence hormones, dopamine, epinephrine, norepinephrine, serotonin, and acetylcholine, they need to be balanced and in optimal range. And so that's why we're in the zone. That's why we call it in the zone. And so when most of us today are in a dopamine overload, dopamine is the reward hormone. When our brain squirts a little bit of dopamine, it feels good. It's like getting a pat on the back. So, you know, the reason I say most of us are in a dopamine overload because our sugary drinks, our sugary foods, our energy drinks, our coffee, they all give us that dopamine squirt. And now there's social media that's also dopamine, because when people put a nice comment on your post or heart your Instagram, it feels good. And that's why we seek more of it. So we're in a dopamine overload, and what that does, it creates an imbalance of those 5 intelligence hormones, resulting in brain fog, lack of focus, procrastination, and all those types of things, which is a vicious cycle. And so the first thing I do with people, in this case, for example, is I basically need to educate them about dopamine overload. So now they realize why they are procrastinating, they can't focus, they're easily distracted, and they're in the brain fog. It's because of dopamine overload. So we got to upgrade your diet. We got to limit those energy drinks, and we got to take control over social media. Doesn't mean you can't use it anymore, but we need to be in control of it. We need to have a strategy on when we're going to use it, how we're going to use it versus the other way around. So it's about education and then putting the things in place that would help that person to control that aspect. And then we need to do that for everything in their life on a daily basis. So eventually we're in total control of the agenda, what that person's going to do from the minute they wake up till the minute they go to sleep, and create power routines. Eventually, once we figure out what works very well for them, we make certain things a routine that they can count on and know that whenever they do that routine, they get a dependable result. And so that's what I mean with taking control of your life, scripting your life. So once you know your purpose, we're going to take control. And so now, without medicine, without supplement, without therapy, a lot of these anxieties, depression, fear, it goes away. Because the purpose has brought passion and fire in our stomach, and the control in our life creates clarity. And so there's no reason to panic. There's no reason to worry about tomorrow, because we know exactly what tomorrow is going to bring. And so that's key before we really start working on our health and our minds, because we need that foundation. You know, we can't have those distractions.
I'm curious, as someone who has their PhD in holistic nutrition, I've heard a few doctors on podcasts talk about this potential correlation between depression and poor gut health. And if we are, you know, consuming the sugary drinks, like you were saying, the, you know, the energy drinks, all the bad things, it can exasperate if we are struggling with depression, it can make it worse. Do you find any truth to that? Because I can think off at the top of my head that the people who feel like they're kind of floating or they're not really sure what to do with their life, they tend not to be what I would consider like the healthiest people.
No, and that's correct. Yeah, and that's correct. So when it comes to those mental states, many times I think purpose is something we need to address, but you're correct. You know, health is a huge part of it. And so we need to address their major health concerns. And it's very custom to, are they overweight? Do they have a lot of inflammation in their body? What are their medical conditions? What are they being diagnosed with? And what is a priority? But I believe there's only one cause of all disease. It's toxemia, toxins in the blood, or the accumulation from toxins, because, you know, we produce toxins as part of normal metabolism on a daily basis. But in a healthy body, those toxins are eliminated from the body, so no harm is done. However, people that are in a constant state of inflammation and have diseases and are overweight and don't feel great, that means is there are exposure or ingestion of toxins exceeds the power of elimination. So if all the toxins cannot be eliminated, they accumulate in our body. And so that's what we call toxemia. Toxemia causes two things in the body. Number one, free radical damage. And I don't think we necessarily have to go in detail, but when free radicals exponentially grow in our body, they can cause a lot of trouble, even DNA damage. So that's not good. And number two, systemic inflammation. Because systemic inflammation basically is a fancy word for putting out fires. When the toxins can't all be eliminated and they're falling in our body is having to do emergency surgery. It has to try to put out those fires on a daily basis. And so even today, conventional medicine now agrees that over 90% of all disease is directly correlated to this systemic inflammation. So what we really need to do, no matter what your diagnosis are, we need to keep toxemia in check. The way we do that theoretically is simple. We need to lower the intake and exposure to toxins. Where do toxins come from? Well, they obviously come from your man-made foods and drinks, you know, whatever you put in your mouth. But they also come from the environment, polluted water, polluted air, electromagnetic radiation and frequencies. Medicines, over-the-counter medicines, you know, all those types of things. That's your toxic load. We need to mitigate that and we need to get that under control. And at the same time, we need to upgrade our diet and we need to increase the nutrients that have been proven to fight free radical damage, reduce inflammation, and repair DNA. And if we can do that and we can keep that toxemia in check, we are not at risk of any disease. And suddenly our body starts to respond to what? To supplements, to a healthier diet. A lot of people want to lose that weight, but the idea of trying to lose weight and go on a weight loss program is the wrong idea. If we help people improve their health and lower their systemic inflammation, which easily can be tested with a blood test, before you measure the CRP, C-reactive protein in the blood, you put in your program and you can go do another blood test. And if the CRP, C-reactive protein, is low or drastically dropped, it means you successfully reduced your systemic inflammation. And that's why you're feeling much better. But if we focus on reducing that inflammation and there's no more state of emergency, then finally the body can stop being in that emergency state and attend to what it needs to be attending to, which in this case is, let's now get rid of this stored fat that is toxic. And so when we lose that weight the right way, then you won't regain that weight, right? So it's all about inflammation and metabolism in this example, right? So when it comes to your depression, the question that you're asked, there's many reasons for depression. Many times it's that purpose of life, but yes, many times it is part of your health that, you know, makes the depression worse. Many times it's a low magnesium. People can, with depression, can look at magnesium. Many times magnesium is more effective than antidepressants. So sometimes there's nutrient deficiencies that can obviously cause many symptoms and medical conditions also. So when we talk about biohacking and health, many times I do some basic testing to set a baseline and then monitor the effectiveness of our programs. And so part of the baseline could be simple blood work, but it also could be You mentioned gut health, you know, so we could test your biome and see how your gut is. We can do genetic testing, epigenetic testing. We can do telomere lengthening testing. And there's many different things that we can do to see where you are and then put in a program in place and then measure again, see if going in the right direction. Yes, many doctors, including myself, feel that the gut is very important in overall health. The gut is 60 to 80% of your immune system. And many people really have a difficult time fixing their gut. Because if you go to a regular doctor, let's say you have IBS or food intolerances, or you have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis or celiac disease, whatever it may be, many times the doctor will put you on a specific diet and often it doesn't work. It may lower the symptoms, but it doesn't get rid of the disease because your gut, as people know, has good bacteria, bad bacteria, right? The good bacteria are the anaerobic bacteria. And the reason why just changing your diet or taking probiotics doesn't work is because these good bacteria cannot colonize in your gut if the environment is not correct. What I mean with that, there needs to be a certain microvoltage, an electrical potential in order for that to happen. And so in my case, I help many people pretty quickly with any type of gut disease, Crohn's disease, digestive problems, food intolerances, by simply having them drink hydrogen water, hydrogen-infused water, for 2-3 weeks. And after 2-3 weeks, that hydrogen water will increase your microvoltage in your gut, you know, to 300 or even 400 millivolts, which is an environment in which your anaerobic bacteria, your good bacteria, can colonize. And so we reestablish a environment that is suitable for your gut bacteria to reestablish themselves in a great balance. And so many times those things are forgotten, and therefore many of the supplements or diets don't work because you basically pour them in an environment where they're going to be killed and unable to multiply. So that's just another example where it's important that you have somebody on your team that points out the things that other doctors don't know about, because everybody's usually following the same diets or telling you to take pre and probiotics, and often it doesn't work because there's a bigger picture that we need to take care of first, which is, you know, healthy environments, getting rid of inflammation, and optimizing your metabolism.
Is there any other extra biohacks that you think really move the needle forward when it comes to optimizing someone's health? Like, I think when people hear the word biohacks, they think of like the cold plunge, the sauna type of circuit, if you will. They think of, you know, jumping on a rebounder for lymphatic drainage, red light therapy, like these types of like bigger things. Is there anything else that you have noticed either in your own life or your clients' lives that maybe extra, but has really been like a needle, like moving the needle forward in optimizing your health?
Yeah, people need to first, and I'll answer that question, but people need to realize that based on where they are in their health, certain things will work and others don't. So it's like anything else, like in the gym, you do certain exercises when you start and then you progress, and then your exercises and your load and your frequency changes. It's the same with health. So what I do, I have three stages when I just focus on health. Stage number one is people that are not healthy. They are overweight. They are diagnosed with some type of a disease, or they're in pain. And so step number one with those people, we need to regain control of their health. We need to eradicate the pain and get rid of their diagnosis to get back to quote unquote normal. Unfortunately, many people fall into that phase, but that's the first thing we need to do, because those biohacks won't work if we're in a state of emergency. Your body will not respond to them as it should. Step number two is once we're back to quote unquote normal, we need to go to optimal health. So now we got to integrate lifestyle modifications to get to optimal health, which means is we need to be vital. We need to be fit. We need to be strong. We need to be full of energy. And we need to start to get in control of our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And only when we are in optimal health, that would be a great foundation to maximize the benefits of biohacking. And so based on where you are, we will use different tools and different quote-unquote biohacks based on where you are and what your next step is, right? But to answer your question, I always start with, I call in my book, the 7 foundational biohacks, and they don't have to cost money. Foundational means, you know, we need to have clean water, right? So my water at home, of course, it's purified, but I also infuse it with hydrogen for many obvious reasons. I mentioned it twice by accident today, but if people are interested, go to hydrogenstudies.com and there's a search bar, put in your ailment and see how hydrogen can help you. But so that's water, clean water, hydrogen infused water. Then air, we need to have fresh air, right? So we need to, you know, especially when you're inside the house, we gotta, you know, watching our filters, we gotta make sure, we gotta measure the air, we gotta make sure it's pure air, we gotta spend more time outdoors, go eat your lunch outdoors, spend more time outside. If you have a yard and the weather's nice, go take your dinner outside. So it's all those simple things to be exposed to more air. I, for example, also have a hyperbaric oxygen at my place. Now that's not cheap, but that's 100% air. I put a mask on instead of 21% air. I get 100% air and breath work. Now, breath work's free. You can go to YouTube. The best breath work app is called The Breath Source, because all the breath masters, the best breath masters in the world are on that app. Most of it is for free. So you can download it for free. And most of the stuff is free, but it's called The Breath Source. And so you can do breath work to maximize your oxygen, your respiration, right? And learning how to breathe. Breath work is a huge biohack that doesn't cost anything. You just got to learn to breathe through the nose, right? So that's oxygen. So we talk about water, oxygen. We talk about light now. You know, light is very important for all biological processes in our body. So we got to get outdoors. We got to be exposed to the sun. We got to spend more, you know, time outside. If you can't, I have a far infrared sauna, right? So that's light and heat, but it's light. So those are fundamentals. And then we have diet. We got to upgrade our diet. We got to get rid of those man-made foods and drinks and incorporate more wholesome foods, natural foods, and high-quality supplements. So we got to upgrade that. Then we got to upgrade our mind, which is our belief system, visualization, manifesting, all things that don't have to cost money that you can learn on YouTube or an app, or have a coach that can send you in the right direction. So those are fundamentals. You know, you talked about cold bath. You don't have to buy a $5,000, you know, situation and bring it home. You got a shower, right? Start with your shower. If you put it on the coldest, I'm pretty sure you can't do it the first time. So build up your tolerance to cold, increase on how cold it is, and then increase the time you're under it, and make sure you get that shower head on your neck where your hypothalamus is, which resets your body, which takes you into the advantages of cold therapy. So these are just examples of fundamentals that you just start incorporating into your daily life, and then you make them part of a power routine, something you do every day. Movement is the other one, the only one I forget about, the 7 movements. We can't sit still. Doesn't mean you have to go join a gym. Doesn't mean you have to play organized sports, but you need to move, whether it's just walking or dancing or getting out there, getting up. It doesn't matter, because movement is circulation and that's oxygenation, right? So we need to get our lymph system going, our circulatory system going. We're not designed to sit still. We're a plumbing system. So if you sit still, you're going to be clogged up. So we got to move and we got to hydrate. So those are simple fundamentals, but they are essential biohacks. And that's where everybody needs to start. And then we can go a few steps further by using these, you know, technologies that are out there, but they cost money and they won't be as effective if you're not at that level where you could utilize those and benefit from them.
I love all of that so much. And like you said, that even though they, on paper, I guess they look like they're simple, they're fundamentals. And I feel like people think it has to be this huge catastrophic thing where they have to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars. And everything you said is free, on some level, and something you can do. And yeah, I think if we just really, like, every doctor expert who's come on, they've all said around the same thing, right? Like, we need to move the body. We need to ensure we're getting good quality sleep. We need to make sure that we're breathing properly. Like, it can be as simple as that. One thing I wanted to ask you about, because it has come up a few times in questions that people have, and I would consider it like really optimizing your health, or you know, like one of those, maybe like an extreme, I don't even want to use the term biohack, but I know you were the CEO of like a stem cell therapy clinic. Why would someone consider doing something like that? Like, what would be the benefits of it? I mean, there's some big people out there who've been talking about how it's helped as far as like pain management, but is there like, is that the only purpose of having something like that done? Are there other reasons why someone would consider having stem cell therapy? And like, what is that? What is the benefits of it?
Yeah, so that's one of, it's not a fundamental, but if you can afford it, it would be awesome to do a lot of stem cell infusions. Now, at our clinic, obviously, we treated people with pain, arthritis, neuropathy, those types of things, because stem cells are there to do what? To not only repair, but to renew and re-engineer. For example, in 2017, I was at the national championship swimming in Minneapolis, and I won 4 times on the first 2 days, but once I won my butterfly event, I pushed myself up to get out of the pool because I didn't want to swim to the side and go under the lanes to get out. So I pushed myself up and I felt something was wrong. So the next morning I woke up to swim my last day. I had 2 more events, but I couldn't raise my arm above horizontal. So I came home and I had 2 full thickness rotator cuff tears in both shoulders. Normally that requires surgery, but I had the stem cells injected instead. And so 3 months later, by sonogram imaging, ultrasound imaging, you could easily see that not only were those rotator cuff tendons completely repaired, but they were stronger and newer and more resilient than my rotator cuff before I injured it. So what it does, it re-engineers and it renews, and it does that on a cellular level. So you can continuously basically renew your organs, your tissues, your systems, every cell in your body, your brain, right? And so when you don't have pain, or when you don't have an injury, or you don't have, because stem cells are also used to treat autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Parkinson's, those types of things. Usually people travel to other countries for that, because if something doesn't work in this country, it's illegal, right? And that's sad, but true. But that's another discussion. But if you're not in a disease state, stem cells are still beneficial if you can afford it, because if you get regular stem cells injected, you know, then you are, what you're doing is you're upgrading, you're replacing damaged tissue and re-engineering it, right? So you're placing old with new. And if you keep on doing that, mechanically and physically, you're not aging. And so you can measure that. We can do telomere lengthening testing. We can do epigenetic methylation testing, all kinds of other tests before. And then we can do it after. And you will see that many of the biohacking things that we do, including stem cells and exosome infusions, that our biological age reverses, that we are getting younger as we chronologically age, because we are upgrading and we are replacing, right? Like we would do with a computer or a car, but we can do that with our body too, is continue to replace older tissues with newer tissues and keep everything new and upgraded. And that's where stem cells and exosome infusions would be a great part of biohacking, reversing your biological age. But those are not free, by the way.
two questions for that. Is that something that, like, would someone who's in like great peak health have something like that done? Or is it something that it's like, no, if you have, like, for example, my husband has a herniated disc, so he's been talking about the idea of stem cells. But to me, that's like, that's a big problem in your body that you would get something done. Like, would the average person, as long as they had the finances, get it done too? Or is it more, yes, like if you're...
I mean, there's indications where it's too late. For example, if you have somebody that's scheduled for a total knee replacement and it's truly bone on bone and all the cartilage is truly gone, then the stem cells are not going to be able to generate cartilage, because there's nothing to grow from. However, if there's still some cartilage left, we can postpone or, you know, basically avoid that total knee replacement, because if we inject that little remaining cartilage with stem cells, then it's going to grow new fibrous cartilage from those stem cells, and we can postpone that knee replacement many years or avoid it. And so it's kind of individual and based on certain things. But yes, we had very much success with low backs, knees, shoulders, You know, and especially neuropathies, we had lots of success in our specific clinic also. COPD, anything with the lung, because we can nebulize the stem cells, or if we do an IV, the first place those stem cells go is the lungs, right? Because that's where your system would end up. So there's many applications for people that are suffering with pain or have a diagnosis that is systemic. But even if you're in top condition, doing IVs of stem cells and exosomes would basically, you know, upgrade and prevent and, you know, reverse your biological age. And if that's your goal and you can afford it, that's something that you should do quite often to just continue to, you know, upgrade your life, your body, and your mind.
I have a selfish question about that. I heard someone else talking on a podcast about the stem cells and saying, like, even though they had thought, and this was just their opinion, that mm-hmm. they had thought there was validity to it and that it had a lot of potential. She was saying that in some countries that, you know, they take stem cells from like dead animals to inject it in. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds awful. Like, I guess because like, I know it's not, I don't think it's legal in both Canada and in the United States. I think most people have to leave the country to do that. Are there like downsides to doing anything like that? Like, obviously we're not getting in the back of a truck in, you know, Central America and having this done. But like, are there any like things to be mindful of if someone was contemplating getting that done?
Well, just like with anything else, you got to look into many aspects when you consider stem cell therapy. I have one of my 8 books, it's called Stem Cells 101, and it's basically a consumer guide because the subtitle is 7 questions you need to ask before you do stem cell therapy. So you can go to Amazon and look that up, Stem Cells 101 by myself. It reads in 1 hour and you'll be smarter than any doctor on stem cells. It's written in layman's terms, but basically what it says, you need to watch out for the source of the stem cells, because you mentioned animals. Of course, we don't take stem cells from animals. It's not necessary. But many doctors in this country, especially orthopedic doctors, they also do procedures that are outdated and have poor results because they try to harvest the stem cells from either your bone marrow of your hip or your fat tissue, like they do a liposuction. And those invasive procedures are totally not necessary because those stem cells are not very potent and they're usually not high enough in quantity to do the job. Because as we age, of course, as humans, we produce our own stem cells. But as we age, the quantity and quality of stem cells drastically declines. So when you're 40, 50, 60, it does not make sense, period. No matter what any orthopedic doctor says, because science proves very clearly, it doesn't make sense to take those stem cells from one part of your body and then inject them into the injured area because those stem cells are low in quantity and quality. Now, what they do is they have you come back the next day or a few hours later because they take those few stem cells they retrieve from your body and then they amplify them. In other words, they multiply them in their laboratory in the clinic. But it's like taking an original to a copy machine and making copies of copies. And you know as well as I do that after a few copies you can't read it anymore. In other words, the quality of those stem cells is very poor, so those results are usually not optimal, and you have to go to an invasive procedure, which is totally unnecessary. The best source of stem cells is a birth tissue, which is either the placenta or the umbilical cord. According to research, the highest quality of actual mesenchymal stem cells comes from the Wharton's jelly, which is part of the umbilical cord. Now, you also need to understand that stem cells by themselves cannot get the job done. There is other bioactive molecules that need to be present in order to re-engineer and repair that tissue, such as scaffolding. There needs to be scaffolding, like I said, with the knee replacement. There has to be some healthy tissue there to build upon. It's called scaffolding. There need to be other bioactive molecules, such as collagens type 1, 2, 3, hyaluronic acid. There need to be cytokines, which cause the inflammatory response, and other things need to be there. And if they're missing, you won't get a result either, even if you have great stem cells. So my experience is treating top athletes and having great results is that we need to combine those high quality stem cells, mesenchymal cells from the umbilical cord with embryonic tissue, which is tissue from the placenta, because the placenta contains all the other bioactive molecules. The amniotic fluid, the fluid from the placenta, is high in exosomes. So when we have a combination of amniotic tissue, which is placenta, and umbilical cord tissue, then we have all the components necessary for a good result. And so that's kind of the source. And that's just one of the things, one of the seven things that you need to look for to make sure you get the right procedure and the right stem cells done.
Thank you for speaking on that. I know we took a little bit of a plot twist by talking about that, but that's it has okay. come up, and it's such an interesting topic. And you know that, like, there's been some big podcasters who have talked about it, and of course, you know, it's.
I have a podcast on it. I have a podcast on it too, which people can watch for free. So if you go to my YouTube channel and you put in stem cells, there's a 50-some minute interview where I go over those seven key questions that people need to ask. So feel free to look that up.
Amazing. Perfect. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you want the community to know about, whether it's a mindset shift that has been fundamental in your life, maybe a biohack that you've absolutely loved, anything at all that you just think this would really benefit the audience?
Yeah, for me personally, no, but a lot of people lately I have been helping with, again, with their mindset, right? And their with breath work, visualization, manifesting, and giving them the right tools to really get in control of their minds. But especially with people, athletes, but also people with ADHD, I came across a very good nootropic because all of those people are on Ritalin, Wellbutrin, and Adderall. And I cannot recommend those things because obviously we know all the possible adverse reactions of Adderall and those types of drugs. And I will never recommend drugs, but there's always natural alternatives. And so I came across a nootropic called Focus Plus that consists of four natural ingredients, no side effects, no jittery effects, that gets people into a different optimizes those five intelligence hormones that we talked about earlier and gets them into the zone and help them to focus. And so those ingredients are biocitroid, which is a terpene from a blood orange in Southeast Asia that is able to cross the blood-brain barrier in 30 minutes. So when you take this, it works in 30 minutes to an hour, so you don't have to wait weeks and build it up into your system. And then we added L-tyrosine, phenylalanine, and phosphatidyl, which are amino acids and neuroagents that have been proven by scientific literature to have a great effect on memory, focus, and those types of things. So the combination of those five all-natural ingredients seem to help many people being able to focus and get the job done. And for your listeners that want to have a free sample and try it, because it doesn't work for everybody, go to trysmartpill.com. Trysmartpill.com, get a free sample of the Focus Plus and see if it's something that may help you. So those are one of the latest things that seem to help people being a little bit more productive during their day.
Perfect. Before I send everybody to check you out online, maybe grab us some samples of that pill and just see what you're up to. Is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you incredible value that you want to leave with the audience?
There's so many, right? So again, to me, when I started using the BreathSource app for breathwork, that has made a big difference in my life. Watching Joe Dispenza. Look up Joe Dispenza. I have a lot of YouTube videos. He even is, I believe, on Netflix or one or Hulu or something. He has a series. So, you know, he's a doctor that has a lot of proof on how you can rewire your brain and basically get in control of your life and your disease and even heal yourself with your brain. And that's all been proven. So those are kind of, you know, two things that I can come up with that people at least should have a glance or a look at. And then people can just go to my website, biohackingunlimited.com. Very easy, biohackingunlimited.com. All my books are there. My keynote speaking resume is there. My mentorship programs are there. Right now, if you sign up for my free email, you get a free copy, a PDF copy at least, of the book, which you also can find on Amazon. But if you want to get start reading now, just sign up for the email and you'll get a free PDF of this book that we talked about today. So biohackingunlimited.com.
Perfect. Dr. Mike, this has been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for sharing your journey, your expertise, everything with us. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Thank you for taking the time to come on the show.
Well, you're welcome. And I just want to finish with saying thank you too, Megan, because even though we have a message, it's people like you that also take their time to help share that message. So this is teamwork. So thank you for your time.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.